Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk. Tackling the stigma.
And welcome to another edition of Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk. My name is Mick Coyle. I do hope you're well. Mental health very much on the agenda right across the whole media, right across the country. This time last week, we were talking about Mental Health Awareness Week. It was such a big hit. We're going to continue to talk about it this week. So it's turned into a fortnight. We'll be joined on the programme in a few moments' time, actually, by one of the organisers of that week. We'll hear about how it's been so successful, Mark Rowland from the Mental Health Foundation. But we're going to start with a story which might surprise a few people. And so many people coming forward now to tell their mental health stories. In a few moments' time, we're going to hear from an Instagram model who talks about the insecurities that she feels, despite the fact she's got 50,000 followers on the social network site. We've got Roxy Nafusi on the programme. Also, you've got to stick around for Louis Beaver. Now, Louis, a top young man who joined me in the studio to tell me his mental health story through a combination of photography, through medication and through skateboarding, he's very much on a different journey now than he was just a few years ago. He's a bit of a whirlwind too. Louis Beaver will join us on the programme. It's Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
This is Radio City Talk.
Okay, so it's Radio City Talk. It's Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Throughout the course of the week, so much information has been emerging in regard to Mental Health Awareness Week, and the guys at Mental Health Foundation have been putting together stats, surveys, loads of information out there to get the key facts out there when it comes to the nation's mental health. 65% of Brits say they have experienced mental health problems. 18 to 54-year-olds were significantly more likely to suffer mental health problems as well. And there's various age breakdowns. But I'm going to take a slightly different angle on this one now, because I guess when we talk about mental health, one of the things that is starting to really emerge is that it affects absolutely everybody, and people are starting to talk about their own mental health, and you wouldn't maybe necessarily expect them to have mental health problems. One such person is Roxy Nafusi, who's a writer and also an Instagram model, who joins us now on Mental Health Monday. Roxy, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us on the programme.
Thanks for having me.
I think it's always fascinating to hear people tell their own different stories, because there's a perception, I think, for a lot of people that you've got to have a certain lifestyle, or you've got to come from a certain place to have mental health worries. But you're on, I think, 50,000 followers on Instagram. You're a model, and people would presume incorrectly that your life was absolutely fine and you've got no worries at all and everything's absolutely rosy. Simply not the case.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I think the thing is, you can, when you feel like you have every reason to be happy, that it makes it very hard to admit that you're sad or you're unhappy, because you think you don't deserve it. So you think maybe only people suffering with grief or job loss, that they are worthy of feeling depressed or unhappy. But if things in your life are good and stable, then maybe, it's that feeling of unworthiness. It spreads even that far.
Yeah, did you feel that, the life that you've been leading and, the opportunities that you've been able to get as a model and as a writer, did you feel like that would have ticked enough boxes to sort of make sure, hey, everything will be fine once I'm up and running, my career's successful and people know who I am and I can earn a living?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if I'd looked back sort of 5 years ago and I looked where I was now, I'd think, oh my gosh, she's so lucky, everything's going so well, wow, what a great place to be in. But I think wherever you are in your life, you're always chasing something further, and it's really hard to actually sort of sit back and be happy where you are. But I think particularly in the industry that I'm in, I guess with social media and the amount that it consumes my life, I think that had a real big part to play in my anxiety and depression. And that's when I realized, oh my god, if I'm feeling like this and I'm 26, imagine what young people are feeling now, because social media is a huge part of their life. So they don't just have to contend with their everyday struggles of school life, but now they have to deal with this like online life, with trolls and comparison and all of this. So I think it was then I realized how important it was for me to start speaking openly about this and reaching out to other people who maybe feel the same way.
Yeah, and obviously, your Instagram account has got many, many tens of thousands of followers. But I guess as a model, by the very nature of being a model, you're being judged all the time. People are looking at you and probably without reason, yes or no, are saying to you, no, you can't have this job, or yes, you can have that job. When you turn that then into the social media world as well, does that heighten some of those issues?
Totally. I think, well, in a way, we've all become sort of models. So we're all facing this this pressure to look good on our own social media. So whether it's a supermodel like Giselle or it's, you know, your friend at school, they're putting themselves out there to be judged on their Facebook or their Twitter or their Instagram. So we're now all facing this pressure to look good, and the image has become more and more important to everybody. And I think that's a huge worry, because it really is. I mean, it's make it obviously look at the statistics. 70% of young people are saying that they've been had anxiety or depression, and I don't think it's any coincidence that it's because social media is such a big part of our lives.
Yeah, and there's almost a hierarchy, isn't there, within social media of who's got the most followers, you know, whose selfies look the most glamorous, who's got the most exotic holidays or most exotic looking holidays. Do you, this might be a personal question, when you look at other models on social media, do you think, oh, wow, look what they've got, in the same way that people might look at you and go, oh, wow, look what she's got?
All the time. All the time. I really hate being on Instagram because of that very reason. I mean, oh, God, she got a job that I want. Oh, my God, she's so beautiful. She's so thin. You know, she's this, she's that. I mean, you just berate yourself and you kind of get off and you feel sick and you're just like, oh, God. And then when you were actually beforehand feeling really good about yourself, you're then feeling rubbish. It's actually insane, really.
But it's almost a fruitless exercise, isn't it, turning to social media? Because, as I say, people might look at you and go, oh, wow, I want to be just like Roxy. And then they might hear you speak now and they'll go, oh, she feels the same way that I feel. And yet I've perceived her to have everything that I want.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, so to hear you say that, even just to say, oh, maybe someone would want what I have, you think, oh, God, wow, I really should feel so grateful, actually, because you do forget. But I think, oh, God, it's such a big issue to talk about, you know, but definitely the comparing of other people is probably the most dangerous part of social media, definitely.
In terms of your own anxiety and depression, how does that manifest itself now? Is that something that you're able to deal with on a regular basis?
I have found for me that healthy eating and exercise has really alleviated my symptoms. So that's become a big focus for me and something that I try to speak a lot about on social media. Everybody is different and will find different ways, but I think having a social detox and also a detox of, you know, the toxins I put in my body are the ways that I'm helping, you know, get through life.
And you've also done almost a reality check thing going on your Instagram account at the moment, with more kind of what you class as normal photos appearing on there, but also facts about how many selfies you took before you chose the one that you were going to put on there as well. It's kind of like, you know, in a maths exam when it says, show you're working. you're showing the working. You're not just going, look, here's me, aren't I absolutely perfect? You're going, look, here's a nice picture of me, but here's what we had to do to get to it.
Exactly. That was a really good campaign that was done by Look magazine. And we were, you know, a lot of us were encouraged, you know, to admit how many pictures it took. And, you know, I'd like to see other people doing the same. You know, get real is the hashtag. So if you want to share your number, I think it's great for all of us to see that behind every, you know, great, perfect picture on Instagram is probably about 1,000 terrible pictures behind it. So don't always believe what you see.
I just put the terrible ones up first time. Particularly when you've got kids involved, you just think, you know what, that's as good as this photo is ever going to get. That one will absolutely do. Now, sitting alongside Roxy, we've got Mark Rowland, who's the director at the Mental Health Foundation. Mark, this week's been tremendously successful in terms of getting out lots of stats and facts and information. Just last week on the programme, we were talking about a professional footballer battling his own mental health demons, if you like. Today we're hearing about, you know, somebody who were perceived to be a successful social media model who lives a lifestyle that people would dream of. Although when you hear about it, when you get to the reality of it, Mark, the reality is very, very different, and people have got different lives. People have got complicated lives, no matter where they're from.
That's right, Megan. Good morning. And I think that's kind of the wonderful thing about being human, that if it was possible just to accumulate lots of riches and look good on social media and feel happy, then I think the world would be a different type of place. But it does make it more complex. And I know from my own family, where we've experienced a bereavement by suicide, my own brother was very much in a similar situation where he felt like he shouldn't feel like he feels. He had the job, he had the kids, he had a wife, and yet he was really tormented by depression. And I think we've got to understand how the quality of our inner lives, it doesn't rely on the exterior, what the exterior looks like. And the more we can invest in understanding our mental and emotional life and what makes for a positive mental health, the better we'll be.
Yeah, one of the interesting things from what Roxy's saying, there's almost like these inbuilt insecurities that people have about their own life and about their own even existence, you know, their reason for being here. And it just seems that, you know, if you have those insecurities at a young age, it manifests itself or has a potential to manifest itself into something more serious as people sort of grow up and get a little bit old. It turns into anxiety, it turns into depression as well. And those insecurities, they're easier to tackle in the first instance, aren't they? Before that it becomes, you know, a medical issue, if you like.
Absolutely. And, you know, we our big message is we've all got mental health. None of us are perfect. So big news, we will all face insecurities. We've all got work to do to ensure that we can move to a place of positive mental health. And when you've got, in our survey, just, you know, 13% of people saying, yeah, they are thriving, they're reaching their potential, they're able to make good decisions. We realise that really as a nation, we've got to get to grips with how we do this. And I think giving people the skills to build resilience, starting from a younger age, I think the next generation are going to be far better equipped. And they're going to need to be, because as Roxy was saying, the technology has moved on, the pace of life is moving on, and our ability to respond and build the skills is lagging behind. And it's no surprise that we're suffering as a result. And a big concept behind mental ill health is this idea around social defeat, this idea that we are somehow losing out in life. And social media just amplifies that, and we've not really found a way to compensate against that effect.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because it's that thing as, you know, well, everybody should just get off social media then, but then we know that that's absolutely not going to happen. So then how do we tackle that, and how do we teach people about social media? I'm a big advocate of that idea, the reality check that we touched on with Roxy, saying, look, here's what I'm looking at, but also teaching people to be able to look at a photograph and think, okay, well, is that real? How many photos, how many filters it's got? How, you know, how many photos were taken to make sure they got that photo? Did they have a professional team behind it to, you know, to Photoshop it all and make it all perfect as well? And once you start asking those questions, maybe you start to view social media as a whole a little bit differently.
Absolutely. And it is about going off autopilot. So if you're on autopilot and you're scrolling through social media, the responses that you have are likely to lead to comparison, and comparison is you know, a big driver of not feeling great. And I think when you come off that and you're really engaged and saying and pursuing the content that you want to find, or finding entertainment or information that you're after, I think you're in a much better position. But I think teaching children and teaching all of us how to engage with the stimulus around us and everyday life events in a way that protects and promotes our mental health is something we're only just learning about. And I'm really excited that we're in a culture now that's got an appetite to learn what is this all about. And maybe they'll take radical steps. I took a radical step the other day, and I deleted my Facebook app. And it was just the decision that I'm going to control it. It's not going to control me. I'm kind of going to make the decisions here. That was quite empowering.
Roxy, do you ever imagine your work's slightly different, but do you ever imagine yourself turning off social media, if you like?
God, all the time. I literally dream about it. No, you know, it's that love-hate thing. I mean, and it is addictive. But yeah, I when I go on holiday, I always try to limit my time on it. I think, Mark, you made a really good point. It's about what did you say? Aimlessly watching, looking at something, doing it without, not actively. Yeah. So, I'd like to go on a little social media holiday.
We should all make a pledge to go cold turkey for at least Mental Health Awareness Week. Mark, have you been impressed by how much of a pickup there's been on Mental Health Awareness Week this week? It seems to have been getting national coverage.
Sure, we've done this for 17 years, and this is by far the biggest, and it really helps with people like Roxy willing to talk about what they've experienced. And there is an appetite locally and nationally and politically to address this, because we need to tackle this upstream. We need to have an understanding of how to prevent it. And this week we're calling on the future government to you know, launch a royal commission on what are the drivers of this level of poor mental ill health. And, you know, I think we are going to see change.
Mark Rowland, thank you for your time. Director of the Mental Health Foundation, Roxy Nafusi. Roxy, thank you for your time too. Really appreciate you joining us on Mental Health Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
This is Radio City Talk.
Thank you to everybody who's sharing the stories that we do here on Mental Health Monday through social media. Hashtag Mental Health Monday. And our thanks to Roxy for joining us on the programme as well. And great to hear that Mental Health Awareness Week was such a big success, something we're going to continue to talk about here on the station and across the show right here on Radio City Talk. Now, my next guest joined me in the studio to talk about his own mental health journey. He's something of a whirlwind and a unique character. Louis Beaver is his name. He now works with an establishment in Liverpool called MSB Solicitors, and he's been talking through his battles with his own mental health, and he joined me in the studio to tell me about his mental health journey.
Radio City Talk, tackling the stigma.
I'd like to think lots of my photography, I'm a photographer as well as working at MSB, and I've been doing quite a bit with mental health actually. Recently I've done a photo series where I got 20 fellas, and six of whom had were diagnosed with mental health issues, and the rest weren't. And the main idea of the project, and they're all dressed in blue. Blue is the kind of the representative colour of like mental health charities across the UK. And it was basically trying to show that mental health doesn't really have an image. It's it can affect absolutely anyone from any background. So I did that in London a couple of weeks ago, and the feedback was absolutely fantastic. Mm. Yeah, really good.
What sort of, when we talk about mental health issues, what sort of things were we talking about?
Well, I'm focusing more on kind of men and mental health, because it's something that's really not spoken about. I mean, us as fellas, we sometimes feel that it can be seen as weak to talk about our mental health. It can be seen as, you know, something we don't really do. And if we start chatting to our mates and we're feeling down about something, I feel as if we kind of step back. It's suddenly, I don't know, it's just suddenly becomes like unknown to us.
So when you decided to start working on the photographic project, that was based on your own experiences of your own mental health.
Oh, definitely.
What sort of things had you experienced?
Well, I've always been a bit of an anxious fella, I think. And then I didn't really do anything about it until, I think, when I was kind of first started, I used to worry about absolutely anything. My hypochondria is horrendous, but it's very funny. Like, I once watched an episode of Embarrassing Bodies, and I once convinced myself I had a testicular torsion and rushed myself to A&E at 2 o'clock in the morning in Italy, where an Italian doctor told me that there was nothing wrong with my testicles, but it was all in my head. So it's just things like that. And then it was only last November where I had a couple events which kind of hit me. Yeah, it wasn't fun. It wasn't really a walk in the park, and I lost all interest in photography. And I was just, this is just really strange. I shoot on an old camera, and I hadn't bought film in about 2 months. And I thought, God, something's definitely going wrong here. And then I was kind of putting it off, and my friends were like, you're getting a bit loopy, Lou. Like, I don't know what to do. So I just threw myself into the GP, and they diagnosed me with a cocktail of different things. And the GP said to me jokingly, why, just go on holiday, book a holiday. So the next day I booked flights to Morocco and Barcelona and shot two photo series out there. Fantastic.
That's quite something. So that moment where you thought, hang on a minute, I don't care about things that I would normally care about.
Yeah, exactly.
That idea that you'd lost your passion for something, that struck you as a warning sign.
Well,
something mustn't.
Yeah,
quite
definitely.
Be right.
I lost interest. I was losing weight, which was. I mean, my jawline was looking great. However, it was not healthy. So I lost all interest in food, which is one of my favourite things. I used to love going out to eat. I lost interest in my friends, photography, you know, just various things. I thought, God, it's not right. Something's going wrong here. So, yeah, I went to the GP, and she was lovely about it, actually.
That idea that you were looking at things even on Embarrassing Bodies, and you were picking out even obscure things that, you know, potentially would never be ever wrong with you ever.
Yeah.
But you were almost looking for a physical...
Yeah,
it must be a problem, so it must be a physical thing.
Exactly.
And it might be my testicles, it might be something else.
Oh, I've got some hilarious stories I could chat to you about. When I once convinced myself I had MLS, which was a very interesting one, when I went to the GP and my left foot kept going numb, and I was really, really confused, and so I Googled it. Never Google your symptoms, especially if you're the most anxious person in the world. Don't do it. Bad idea. Because, for God's sake, I could convince myself that I was pregnant, for God's sake. It was ridiculous. So I Googled it and said... you potentially might have MLS or foot cancer or something like that. I thought, oh, Jesus, I'm going to die. I'm going to start writing my will now, like rest in peace, source out my tombstone. I'm dying here. So I went to the doctors and she said, take your shoe off. I said, I'm dying. I've got MLS. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what to do. So she took my shoe off, held my foot. She said, oh, that is cold, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is cold. And she said, have you ever checked the bottom of your shoe for holes by any chance? I said, no, that's preposterous. Why would I do that? So as she switched my shoe over, there was a hole in my shoe, and it turns out the heat had been going out. And that's why my foot had been going numb. And it was probably the most embarrassing thing in the world. It was quite funny at the time, though. But you know Martin Freeman in The Office, when yeah. something awkward happens and you look into the distance? I did that for about 2 minutes. It was very awkward.
you say did it feel funny at the time?
What, my foot or...?
Well, no, obviously you were going through this thing, you know, you present yourself to an A&E in the middle of a European country at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not because you fancy a bit of a laugh, but you're looking at it now and smiling. Is that a sign that you're in a much better place?
Oh, definitely. I'm feeling fantastic, to be honest with you. Having the time of my life. Photography is going well. Got all my passions back. I love food. Probably eat far too much of it. I'm in a great place. Work's great as well. They've been incredibly supportive. My friends down at Lost Art Skate Shop. I don't know if you've heard of them. Big skate shop here in Liverpool. Friends from university. It's been fantastic.
So those passions that you felt that you lost, you got them back?
Certainly got them back, yeah. And they're staying. Here to stay.
Yeah, and what was it? Do you think you removed yourself from it? Do you still have those sort of hypochondria infatuations, if you like?
I haven't really... to be honest with you. No, not at all. I mean, the doctors threw on medication. I've been feeling fantastic since. So I don't know how that... It's certainly been helping my anxiety. And, I'm incredibly open about it. I think I'm not embarrassed to say that, you know, they put me on to stuff, because I think it's far more embarrassing not to do something about your mental health.
No, absolutely.
Really.
So that day when you went to see the GP, yeah. presumably when they were asking you about the things that you were feeling, you went through the whole story.
Yeah, I did. It was more of a comedy sketch, to be honest with you. I felt like standing up and going, hello, Liverpool, welcome to my comedy show, because I kept going through all these stories. And she was just laughing, the GP, and it is funny. At the time, it was not very funny at all. But looking back, at least I got some funny stories out of it.
So then it was a medication. So they suggested a course of medication.
They did, because it was, And let's just say, I feel much better now. And it's that with probably going on a holiday, focusing. An occupied mind's a healthy mind, really. So work and photography and, you know, going out. I'm also a linguist as well, so I enjoy speaking languages. Yeah, no, it sounds like a Tinder profile here, doesn't it? But just keeping myself occupied. And yeah, I'm feeling fantastic with you. Top of the world.
We've got Louis with us in the studio talking about mental health. It's Mental Health Awareness Week, of course, something we've been very much talking about on the programme. You mentioned your workplace. You work at MSB.
MSB, yeah.
Solicitors. Sometimes people think, if I talk about my mental health issues, if I reveal that I'm on medication for anxiety or depression, that my workplace will shun me, that I'll lose out on opportunities, that I'll no longer have opportunities within the workplace. What was your experience?
Well, let's just say they weren't wallies about it. They were incredibly supportive. I mean, I think I kept it quiet because I thought there's always that stigma, you know, between someone who's got mental health, think they're going to top themselves or something like that. But it's really not. I mean, it's just, you know, I worry a bit more than the average person and sometimes have ridiculous thoughts, but they were incredibly supportive because I made an article. This was outside of work, and this was kind of for like a streetwear, edgy, cool magazine type thing. And it was about my Marrakesh story where I booked the Marrakesh. So I did a photo series in Marrakesh, which was fantastic. Check it out. It's not too bad. And they said, God, I'm so sorry to hear about this. I said, don't be sorry. I feel fantastic now. And to be honest, it's everyone just being, are you okay now? I said, yeah, I feel great. And I did hide it last year. I think there was a day where I just couldn't get out of bed. It was horrendous. This was before I saw the GP. And, you know, work would joke like, oh, he's hungover and things like that. But no, I wasn't. I was just couldn't get out of bed. And I was so confused. Spent the whole day listening to, you know, Daniel Powter, Bad Day and stuff like that. James Blunt.
When you ring up with that, are your workplace open to that? So they go, yeah, we appreciate that. No worries. We'll see you tomorrow.
I think I just made up and said something like, I'm feeling really ill. But I was actually feeling not the best mentally, let's just say.
No, absolutely. And in terms of And I guess people, you know, almost feel like if they do speak to their boss, they don't then want the boss constantly over the shoulder, you know, checking, are you all right?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a healthy sort of management of your situation within the workplace? Do you feel like it's just an open conversation that you can have?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm an incredibly, like, positive fella, and I'm open as well. So if people do, like, say, oh, how are you feeling now, or things like that, so I just, yeah, I'll tell them, I feel great. I mean, if I'm feeling a bit down, I'll go to my friends or say, yeah, I do feel a bit down today, but speak about it, because my main aim is just to, like, for fellas, just to be far more open with their brains. Let's be able to talk about how we feel. It's not, you know, you shouldn't keep things to yourself, because that just makes it worse. It's like getting a Coca-Cola bottle, and every time you have a problem, like, shaking it up, one day it's going to explode, so you have to slowly open it, don't you, really?
Louis Beaver with us in the studio. The article that he's mentioned a couple of times is in The Basement magazine.
It is The Basement.
So people can check that out.
Very, very good platform as well. Check it out, all social, but I don't know what you have to call it, but they're great.
People always say, you know, never live your life with regrets. My only regret in my life, I always say, is I never learned to skateboard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's very trendy at the moment, skateboard.
Yeah. You know, when you see kids now and you think, oh, kids.
Yeah.
They're looking in a certain way, they're dressing in a certain way. You almost laugh because you see echoes of yourself and that person
exactly.
You wanted to be. But whenever I see a skateboarding kid now, I always think, that is cool.
That is very cool, isn't it? It's very trendy. Yeah.
Longboarding as well?
Oh, no, longboarding's not cool.
I want to do that down a hill.
Really?
That down a hill.
I think it's a bit tame, though, isn't it, longboarding?
There's a great scene in that film, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
I love, yes, I completely...
Do you know the scene?
I love that film. Do you know what? I want to be that photographer so badly.
Right, so, but that's what I mean. In that film,
yeah,
he gets a longboard.
In Iceland,
and he goes to Iceland, and he just longboards down a hill, and it's like 20 minutes
it's
long.
It's so cool.
And I saw... That is really cool.
It's so cool.
Anyway, we're moving off the topic.
No, let's keep talking about that. I love that film.
Can organise something off the top of Snowden or something like
that?
Yeah,
let's do it. I'll come in again. We can have a talk about films and stuff.
Yeah.
Offer me a job here, be fine. MSB, I'm sorry, I'm leaving.
Your friends who said to you, oh, you're going a bit, they used the phrase loopy-loo.
Loopy-loo, yeah.
What do your friends recognise in you now?
That I'm a lot more smiley. I think my chat with girls has got a lot more better, because it was a bit, you know, nobody fancies a depressed fella, do they? Probably positive, and then far more photo projects as well. Like, I'm going back to Paris in 2 weeks' time to shoot kind of a photo series, which is called Les Rues et l'Amour, which is means the wheels and the love, which sounds really slightly quite stilton-y, quite cheesy, where it's just kind of bringing Willy Ronnie, who's a photographer, very romantic black and white Paris scenes, and then throwing skateboarding into it. Huge contradiction. Touch with us, okay.
So you've got the medication, but you've also got the work that you're doing. You've been talking about it. You talk very openly
about
it.
Yeah, incredibly open about it.
You also do your passion stuff
as
well. Is that for you the journey? If you remove one of those things, do you think that might, you know, take you back down a negative path? Do you feel like you're able to embrace that as well as you obviously work as within a legal firm?
I don't really know, because I'll always love photography. I always love law. I always love my mates. I don't think I'll ever drop any of them. But maybe if I did. I don't know, I'd just replace it with something else. It's like Tetris, isn't it? You'll find a block that'll fit.
Brilliant stuff. Oh, it's good to hear that you're in such a positive place. And then people listening to this now will think, wow, there's, you know.
Well, it's just a show, really. I mean, you know, if there are, you know, fellas who are about 16 or anyone 16 or 17 who's listening, it's cool to talk about your mental health. Well, cool to talk about what's on your mind with your friends.
No,
because it really helps. It's a huge weight off your shoulders. Yeah.
Absolutely. And actually, and that use of language there, you know, it's, let's talk about mental health. Everyone goes, no. But you go,
yeah.
How are you feeling? That's, everyone can answer
let's
that question.
Let's laugh about it. Yeah. That's probably the worst thing to say. But, you know, look at it positively. I think that's how with my family, but if someone's ill in our family, we always find a joke out of it or something. There'll always be a positive side out of it.
And anyone who's listened to you today will know that you do like to find a joke in these things. And that's to your credit, Louis. Thank you.
Is that a good thing?
I think so.
Oh, okay,
think
there you go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Great to get you on the programme.
Thank you very much for having me. I've had a whirl.
I told you it was a bit of a whirlwind. Louis Beaver, great value to tell us his mental health story and about how a combination of medication, photography, and even skateboarding put him on a very, very different path. If you're listening to the programme and you ever think, you know what, I could share in these sort of stories. These sort of stories are relevant to me and I want to share my particular story. Absolutely, you can email it in, mick@radiocity.co.uk. You might even be invited in as a guest on the show. Or if you feel really passionate about talking about mental health, get involved in the show again. Drop us an email, mick@radiocity.co.uk. If you're listening live on Radio City Talk now, we'll be back on air with Mental Health Monday next week. And if you're listening via the podcast on iTunes or Audio Boom, thank you for downloading us. You can like it and subscribe it through social media if you would be so kind. Tell your friends about Mental Health Monday. That would be absolutely wonderful. All the details about the show, about me, and so on and so forth via the website too, radiocitytalk.co.uk. That's radiocitytalk.co.uk.
Radio City Talks Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.